people who walk by, and then if someone does help them, they would interview them. Or maybe if they, you know, did something really bad to them, then they would interview them too. Why didn't you help them? And so they kind of put them on the spot. There was an interesting study done, and I'm not sure if it was with this show, but it was a similar scenario that was played out. And there was an actress, and she was very attractive, and she did something like that. She tripped and fell and dropped her purse, and things went all over the street. And it was interesting because it was like the men lined up to help her. And then she put on a suit that made her look overweight, and she did the exact same scenario. And you know what? Nobody helped her. And it was interesting how people would selectively help some and not others. And in a sense, this is a test to see whether people are actually good Samaritans, and whether people are showing their concerns towards one another. And as we look at this passage today, we're going to see two of the co-workers of Paul, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and how they did show concern for others, and they demonstrated that in their lives and in their ministry. So let's take a look at Philippians 2, 19-30. If we can read that together. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that you may see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. We see here in the lives of, in Philippians, and it's kind of a little bit of a review, one of the key verses in Philippians 2, it comes from Philippians 2, which is verses 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, looking not only after your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. And so Paul is calling the Philippians, and for believers, to not look out for their own interests, but to look out for others' interests as we serve Christ. And then he gives the example of Jesus in that passage, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, and gave himself as a form of a servant. And so we see Jesus as being the exemplar of one who looks out for the interests of others. And then as we go on, we also see Paul as an example of how he loved the church, and he gave himself to the church. And he even says in Philippians 1, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To be with Christ is far better, but yet if I stay on here for service, it's for your benefit. And so us believers and the Philippian believers are being encouraged by the example of Paul and Christ. But in a sense, I think it's difficult to relate sometimes to these lofty examples. And so you have, obviously, Jesus. And how can we ever match the love and concern and sacrifice of Jesus? And Paul, being the apostle of apostles, how can we measure up to him? But Paul goes on and gives us an example of two ordinary believers. And I think by giving these examples, it can be an encouragement to us that we don't have to be these lofty spiritual giants, but we can, in ourselves, like them, serve the Lord and do His will. Humility was exemplified in Jesus and Paul, and he was And this humility was also exemplified in Timothy and Epaphroditus, who were co-workers for Christ. And from this passage, I see that they were fat. Okay, many of you probably remember fat from Pastor Kurt, and because I know he taught about this a little bit, and fat stands for what? Faithful, available, and teachable. And so when I was reading this passage, this acronym came to my mind that Timothy and Epaphroditus were fat believers, and they're calling us to be fat believers. Not in terms of eating more food, obviously, but being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first thing we see here is indeed that we see faithfulness, that they were faithful. Now in verse 22, it reads, "But you know that Timothy has proved himself." Now Paul didn't automatically add Timothy to his ministry team. He first met Timothy when he was a young man on an earlier missionary journey, and we read about this journey in Acts chapter 14. During this journey, Paul healed a lame man, and the people of the towns of Derbe and Lystra, which is in present-day Turkey, thought that Paul and Barnabas were Zeus incarnate, and they came to sacrifice bulls and ox to them, and Paul and Barnabas were like, "No, don't do this. You know, we're only people. We're only human, but we know what God is." During the gospel, Jewish people came in, Jewish leaders, and began to turn the crowd over. And next thing you know, the people go from wanting to sacrifice to Paul on the altar to actually stoning him, where they left him for dead. And so Paul had an experience in this region. It wasn't necessarily the greatest experience, but the word must have gotten through because there was believers there, and we even know that Timothy, he was from a mixed family. I believe his mother was Jewish and his father was Greek, and so he was raised as a Jew by his mother, and so. And so they had a connection, and Paul shared the gospel, and people came to Christ. Now, I don't know how many years later, he's on another missionary journey, and he hears about this person, Timothy, who he must have met before. And it reads in Acts 16:2 now that it states, "Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra," which is Turkey, "where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, and Paul wanted to take him on the journey." And so Timothy had given his life to the Lord, had probably been raised as a Jewish young man, and then became a Christian and gave his life to Christ. And there was likely potential with him, but Timothy stayed where he was in the church. Paul left him there. And he began to grow, and he was faithful in seeking God's will and growing in the Lord and exercising his gifts and seeking God's calling in his life. And when Paul came back then, they told him about young Timothy, and he got a report on him on how he was faithfully doing the work of the Lord. And Paul was so impressed by this young man that he decided to take him along on his missionary journey. Now, I was reading about a pastor who shared about his experience in leading a popular musician to the Lord. And this musician was quite well known and was really on fire for God. And he asked the pastor, "What should I do now?" And the pastor said, "Well, you should go and get involved in a good church. And you should begin to grow in the Lord and develop a firm foundation in Him and begin to utilize your gifts and talents for the Lord." And the musician said, "You don't understand. I am a well-known figure, and God can use me in a mighty way that He cannot use many other people. And so I think I should begin a ministry where I go out and sing and I share the love of Christ with others." And the pastor said, "No, I think you're getting a little ahead of yourselves. You need to faithfully serve in the church first and gain some roots before you go out to serve others." Well, to make a long story short, this musician did not listen to the pastor, and he began a ministry to people as he sang and he shared the gospel. And what happened? Within a year, the musician flamed out. He couldn't handle the burden of I guess, being all of a sudden a celebrity, a Christian spokesperson. There was a strain on his family's life because his wife didn't know the Lord yet, and so she was actually even drawn away from God because of how he was now treating her, feeling like she was abandoned, and he ended up with his faith being in ruins. And the pastor made this comment, which I thought was interesting. It says, his branches went out further than his roots went deep. Branches went out further than his roots went deep. And I think the pastor was wise to advise this person to dig roots into the Lord. And we can see this is what Timothy did. Though a young man, he faithfully sought to serve the Lord and to give his life to him. And the Lord used him as a faithful servant. And the two verses that really come to mind when I think of Timothy in terms of proving himself would be Luke 16:10, where Jesus said, one who is faithful in little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in little is dishonest in much. So if we're faithful in those small things and the little things, the Lord will bless us and allow us to serve him in a greater ministry. And then later on, when Timothy was leading the church, Paul instructed him in 1 Timothy 3:6 and 7, saying of appointing overseers or elders, that an overseer must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. And so for Paul, in terms of training Timothy, it was about not pushing him out too soon, but allowing him to cultivate his walk with God, being a faithful servant, and that's what Timothy was. And so we see that Timothy was faithful. We also see that Timothy was available. In verse 20, Paul writes, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul here wasn't saying that there was no person on the face of the earth at that time who didn't have concern from others, because as we go on in the passage, we see that there's Epaphroditus who did actually have concern for others. And so what Paul's referring to here is that the Roman believers in this particular context didn't really have concern for the Philippians. And so Paul wanted to send some believers to Philippi, maybe kind of like a short-term missions trip, in order to help meet their needs. And Paul put out the word to try to get some people to go and serve in Philippi, but no one answered the call except for Timothy. And so Paul is commending Timothy for being one who isn't looking out for their own interests, but for the interests of others, in this case, the Philippians. The Roman church members were busy in their own matters, and they didn't really have time to care for the needs of others. They were preoccupied with their own circumstances, and that's a thing that I think is easy to do because we have busy lives, and I'm sure that they had busy lives. But Timothy is shown as an example of one who was thinking mostly about the needs of others. And then we also see Epaphroditus being available as well. We see here that he was a messenger that was sent by the Philippians to Paul, who was in Rome, who was in prison awaiting trial. And so Epaphroditus came and volunteered, again, kind of like a short-term mission trip, this time to report on the status of the Philippian church, but also to be an encouragement to Paul. And, of course, he was a messenger, but we see that he was so much more. When we look at this passage, we see that, indeed, that in verse 25, Epaphroditus was his brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. So we see that Epaphroditus really made the most of his opportunity serving Paul while he was in prison and seeking to encourage him and to help Paul in any way that he could in terms of encouraging the church there and reaching out to others. Timothy and Epaphroditus made themselves available to help and to serve God in any way possible, even if it wasn't glamorous or noteworthy in the eyes of others. They wanted to serve however they could in order to meet the needs of others. And I was reading about an elderly widow who similarly wanted to make herself available to serve the Lord. But being elderly, getting up in years, She really couldn't get out and really do much for God, and she knew she could pray, but she just felt that she had a ministry that she could do, and she kept praying about it, and, Lord, what would you have me do? And God answered her, and she was she played the piano, and she had this idea, I'm going to put an ad in the paper. And so I believe she lived in the Bay Area in Oakland, and she put an ad in the Oakland Tribune, and she said, I'm available to play, what was the wording? Pianists will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and despondent. That was her ad, and then she gave her number, and people would call her, and she would say, well, what hymn would you like me to play? And so they would, say Amazing Grace or whatever, and she would, hold on, that's number, 25 in the hymn book, and she'd put the phone there, and she'd begin to play, and she would bring encouragement into the lives of others. And they said within several months, at least 100 people had called to receive this encouragement. And so we see here's a woman who really has no business in actually being able to serve in any way. In a sense, she's at the point where people should serve her, but yet she made herself available to serve the Lord and to make a difference for Him. And we see that in her life, and we see that in the lives of Timothy and Epaphroditus, and we're indeed called to make ourselves available to serve the Lord in whichever way that He calls us. So we see faithful, available, and finally we see teachable. Timothy and Epaphroditus were teachable. In verse 22, again, it says that Timothy was, as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. And so, as we see here, today, when a pastor or a missionary prepares for service, there's usually a long training process. And it usually involves going and studying in school. It might be undergrad some way, or for some of us, it's going and getting a Master's of Divinity. Most pastors have masters. Doing internships during that time, serving in the church, serving as youth pastors and assistant pastors, and on. We receive this particular training. They didn't have quite the educational system back then like we do now, and so as Jesus took disciples under his wing, the 12 apostles, Timothy, Paul did similar with believers, younger believers like Timothy and Epaphroditus. And so for Timothy, he took him under his arm like a son, and Paul was his mentor, and he was his leader and guide to help prepare him for works of ministry. And we see in the Bible and in Acts in particular that Timothy was one who Paul groomed for leadership, brought him along on this missionary journey, and eventually Timothy would be one who became a leader in the church. And it was all because of the time that he spent with Paul learning and growing. And so we see the same thing with Epaphroditus. He came to help and encourage Paul, but I think at the same time, he learned from Paul, and he sought to grow. And I can just imagine spending all of that time just there with Paul. It just couldn't help but rub off and have a great impact on his future ministry. I think the thing that I see here is that we need to take advantage of being mentored. We live in a time where what I would call there's a democratization of opinion, which basically means we can go on the internet and we can all be experts at everything. The church that I was previously at in Raleigh, it was a difficult place for a pastor because it was a very educated church and everybody thought they knew how church should be. And so one of the leaders said, our church is kind of like a boat, and everybody has an oar, and everybody's rowing at different speeds, and the boat's just turning around and around. And then they'd bring a pastor in who would try to right the ship, but then they still wouldn't listen to him, and the boat would still go around and around because everyone thought that they were an expert. And so I really like what we see here is that Timothy put himself under the guidance of Paul, and he sought to learn and to grow. And we don't necessarily have to do that in such a formal setting. Churches sometimes like to set up mentoring programs and the like, but I think just talking with one another and encouraging one another and seeking to share our lives with one another, especially I think all of us have something to learn from those who are a little bit older than us and a little wiser, and hopefully that can rub off and it can enhance our ministry. As we conclude, we see that Timothy and Epaphroditus were fat believers, faithful, available, and teachable. Let us be encouraged by their example to similarly cultivate the mind of a servant, seeking not our own interest, but also the interest of others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your example of these young believers, Timothy and Epaphroditus, who sought to serve you with their whole heart and sought and loved others as you love them. And Lord, may us be encouraged in our lives, Lord, to similarly follow you, not looking out for our own interests, but seeking your will and seeking to meet the needs of others. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.